pray for just a second here. If there's something maybe that's in your heart or in your life, a need that you have, a challenge you're facing, if we sing this, let's work at really believing it. Amen? A miracle can happen now. A miracle can happen now. And when we begin, if we sing these things and we believe these things, I believe that we will begin to open up or awaken the power of the Lord to work in us and through us. And we can begin to see more what should be natural in any gathering, but in particular in a gathering of the believers, is signs, wonders, miracles, healing. Come on, some amens ought to be shouting out here. Come on. Signs and wonders and miracles and healings and signs and wonders and miracles and healing. There's nothing for God. There's nothing for Him to stop right now and heal your body, to change your circumstance, to touch your life. Signs and wonders and miracles should be in this place today. We should expect, actually, that they would be here. Amen? Didn't He say that they followed you to church? Right? They followed you here this morning. You probably didn't even know that, did you? He said signs and wonders would do what? To who? Those that... All right, do you believe this morning? Okay, you might want to look behind you. Come on, I am being humorous, but I'm being dead serious. It's time that we as the church begin to believe everything that we believe. We call that being a believing believer. And so we might need to check our rearview mirror a few more times on the way to church. And when we see those things coming, that we're ready to say, okay, God, what do you want to do with that? Because we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the same power that was able to raise somebody from the dead was given to us that believe, so that we might utilize that, not just know it. And we can step into this place where our hearts begin to change and our thoughts begin to change, and we begin to say, God, today you said signs and wonders would follow those who what? Do you believe this morning? You see, we got to start making some changes happen inside of us so we can get up and do this thing. I know that most people think that God's going to do everything, but can I just say this morning, that's not the way He set it up. He set it up so you can enjoy Him and you can enjoy the power of God that He put within you. Because all of those things, now get this here. I want to just really challenge you on this here. If you don't use the gifts of the Spirit while you're here on earth, you're going to miss out altogether. Because guess what? You will not need there. You won't need healing. If you do, you went to the wrong place. You won't need that, right? We won't need a prophetic word because we'll understand and we'll know and we'll see what's all around us. We'll have understanding, right? He's going to come. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be an awesome thing. But so somehow I've got to say, okay, if signs and wonders are... I'm sorry, you guys can go down. Thank you. Just give them a hand as they go down. They did a fabulous job. Somehow we have to begin to let how we think and what we think and what we believe begin to come to the surface every morning when I rise up. Because something will come to your surface when you wake up in the morning. How many of you non-morning people can say, I know exactly what it is already? Good God, it's morning. and so something's going to come up, and I think our challenge, and I think the challenge for the day that we're living in, is that we would dare to live like a believing believer. Do you realize that you can stay immature as long as you choose to? I know some adults that still act like kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's just, that just happens. It can happen real easily for all of us. But God wants to stir something up inside of us. He wants to awaken something inside of us that is going to be good enough for the last days that we're living in. He wants to do that. He wants to stir that up inside of us. And I'm going to just tell you, the closer that we all get to the end, the more demonic power you will see released. The Bible even says that. It just says it's going to happen. So that means the church has to rise up in that believing power that we read throughout the scripture is taking place. And in particular, we see it happening. The transition from the Old Testament was, of course, Christ had to come to save us so that we could have his Holy Spirit inside of us, that dunamis power in us. He had to come to do that. So we see 4,000 years of history of God showing you exactly what this power is going to look like. What was he doing? He was salting your oats so you would be able to see, wow, when the power, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, that dunamis that he says that we get our English word dynamite, that dynamite I'm going to put in you is going to produce something, oh, so amazing. And he even said, what I even am going to do on this short time that I'm on the earth, 33 and a half years, what I'm going to do, greater you will do. But see, we don't walk in that every day, do we? And I'm guilty of it too. But we need to change that. So how are we going to change that? We know that coming to church doesn't change it. So how are we going to make the changes so that we can be a people prepared and ready for our day? I want to pass on, if this isn't the last generation, which it could be, we're getting close. If I want to pass on something powerful to the next generation, right? We don't want to pass on a dead horse. I want to give them something that they can take and run their journey from. They won't have to start over. And so I want to stir us up today just with a few thoughts. The title of the message today is Dare to Live, Dare to Live. And we'll be speaking a little bit about living in the gifts of the Spirit. The word dare here, the word dare simply from the dictionary means to have the courage to do something. Have the courage to do something. The synonyms for it is to be brave enough. Just be brave enough. I want to call you out to be brave enough. I want you to dare to live. I want you to have courage, venture, and have the nerve to do something. Only do what the Word says. That's all I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to do anything except for what the Bible says for us to do. And it should be a privilege for us. I want to read the scripture that we started with last week. And then I want to break down that scripture just a little bit more. I believe it will feed us this morning. I believe it will stir us this morning. I believe it can ignite something inside of you. See, when the word comes, the reason it becomes powerful is because of what's inside of you already. It's just coming in to awaken the faith that he put inside of you. You see, when you know, sometimes people come and just, you know, they just, I don't have faith for this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. He's given everybody faith. He's given it to all of us. The word helps to germinate or crack open that shell of faith, the seed of faith that's in you, so that it can begin to grow and grow and grow in your life and through your life. And yet we allow so often, it's easy to allow some circumstances to get in our way, and before we know it, we're really not living as a victorious, overcoming believer, but we're just living in a survival mode. And we never look in our rearview mirror to see, are those signs and wonders following me? Are they there? And I don't know. I'm just simple about this. But if a sign and a wonder never has followed you, it might just tell you that you might not be believing. That sound good? According to that scripture, signs and wonders should follow those that believe. And so I need to look at that and say, okay, God, how can I do that? How can I begin to do that? Some of you are going to say, how can I begin to do that again, God? I remember the day. You know, it's not a secret that people that get newly saved and a little bit, from maybe teenage and up, that they see lots more signs and wonders and miracles. initially when they're saved. But then that starts to dwindle down. And so that's the challenge that the Holy Spirit has with us. How do I keep the fire burning? And it takes courage. It takes courage. And that's why we call this series Dare to Live. Dare to Live. We need something to see. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. If you just follow along, open your tablet, your phone, your something, your Bible. 1 Peter 4, and I'll just read through the verses, and then we'll just kind of zip through them a little bit with a few thoughts. But the end of all things is at hand. So it's an end time verse for sure. He's reminding us that the end is here. End is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. That's what we talked about last week. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And everybody agrees, said, amen. Amen. You just quoted a scripture when you said, amen. Good job. In view of eternity, the Christian must have a focused prayer life. That's what we talked about last week, and so I'm not going to rehearse that, but it just simply says, because we're in the last day, you need to be serious and sober and right-minded, and you need to be watchful in your prayers. And we talked about that last week, so I will not review that. The second point that we see out of the scripture, in view of eternity, the Christian must love other believers deeply. Would you just say that with me? We must love other believers deeply. And really, it goes beyond that, as we know. But I want to focus on this particular word, love, this morning for a moment. It's the word agape, and it's brotherly love. It's the type of love that we are meant to have here as the body of Christ, that we love each other so much. We care about each other, we love each other, and we actively see this happening in our life. And so the question that we can ask ourselves, and you know, how many have heard the saying that blood is thicker than water? Isn't that pretty common? I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just California, is it? Blood is thicker than water. What is it saying? Your family, your brothers, that you're going to stick with them. And I can remember growing up that being a real issue. You know, a person could talk about their own mother all the time, but about the time you started talking about their mother, you had a fight on your hands. It was history. Matter of fact, when I first moved into this one neighborhood, it was a Spanish neighborhood, and some friend of mine said, "You need to go tell so and so this," and he gave me the words in Spanish. It was the wrong thing. I got beat up over that one. It was something about his mother, you know, and it wasn't good. It wasn't sweet at all. And I remember thinking, I really need to learn Spanish here, or at least the bad words, you know. So anyway, but you know what I mean? There's something about this blood being thicker than water that he's saying for you and I, that we have to have that kind of a love for each other. And that should kind of change the game for us. And he takes it even a step further to try to help us to understand why this is so, because it says, your love will cover a multitude of sins. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Now, I just want you to just stop for a second and just ask yourself, did God have to cover any of my sins? And did he cover some of them, or did he cover all of them? He covered all of them, didn't he? He covered every last single one that you have committed, and actually the Bible says he's already covered the ones that you will commit, and he's not bailing on you. So there's something that begins to take place in me as I begin to really have brotherly love that's going to help me cover your sin. And again, vice versa, it's both ways. And this is what he's saying here. I want you to have this kind of a love. Instead of when somebody sins, you try to destroy them or jump on top of them and tear them apart or reject them, do you have enough love to cover that? and then see what can be done and how you can relate to them and how you can potentially help them. James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 is just too, it's just too harsh, I'm afraid, but I'm going to read it to you anyway since I read it to me. James 5, 8, and 9. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Oh, another end time verse. There's going to be a lot happening in the end times. Because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against who? Each other, brothers, or what? You will be judged. Wow. What's going to happen if I grumble about you? I'm going to be judged. Matter of fact, the Bible really says this, doesn't it? It says, however you're going to judge people is how I'm going to judge you. That ought to be enough to put some fear in the way you respond to people. You know, and we have to be very careful of this. Again, we're living in the last days, so there's going to be lots of reasons for response and reaction and judging. And we have just got to stay away from that. It's not our place. God's going to judge in the end. He said, even in some cases, the wheat and the tares are going to grow up together. He says, he'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. Shine your light on it. Your light of love and care and compassion, not your grumbling and judging people. And I think we're living in that day where we've justified judging people. This whole, you probably have seen this Kathy Griffin issue, you know. I just cracked up when I heard it. I don't know how we can be so stupid to even let some of this stuff get on our news or in our news lines. What did she say? He's trying to ruin me. That's the first thing she could think to say after holding the guy's bloody head up as if he cut it off like a whatever terrorist. And she's got to come back with, he's trying to ruin me. No, lady, you ruined yourself. You crossed the line. But that's just the day we live in. We're always wanting to blame somebody else for what we do. We're trying to judge somebody else. We're trying to reach out and destroy somebody else. I just think it's time that we have to really believe that I have to look at myself when I look at you and see how I am relating to you and how I'm judging you. And if I walk around as a judgmental, unforgiving person, I am going to be judged the same exact way. How many can say amen because that's in the Bible? Amen. It's not me. I'm not making this up. I'm trying to stay as close to the Bible. I knew this one would hurt because it hurt me. But we have to stay to the Bible. We've got to quit chasing away from it. We've got to quit saying but. We've got to quit saying, making an excuse as to why I cannot like you and hate you and judge you and mumble about you and murmur about you. I got to get rid of that. There's absolutely, according to the purest word of God, absolutely no reason for that. And when I begin to do that, we begin to push away the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because we know good and well he's going to tell us the opposite. And I like this here. He's really trying to, I think, drill this into us. In verse 8 it says, and above all, love each other deeply. Deeply. I can't just love you normally. I have to love you deeply. Would you look at your neighbor and say, I really am going to try to love you deeply from this day forward? Because the B-I-B-L-E tells me so. And I know you do. I know you do here. I'm preaching this for the people that are going to come so you can tell them, okay? It says deeply, and the word deeply is and we can understand this once you hear this word picture. The word picture is an athlete straining to reach the goal. So in other words, what you have to do is not going to be easy because it's going to go against all of your own thoughts and thinking and flesh. But I've got to strain to love you. I've got to strain to not judge you. I've got to begin to dig that out and root that out of my heart and my life because it's not in Christ's heart or life. He doesn't sit up there judging you. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed at how this whole system is set up by him. He goes to the cross. He dies for you. He gets beat up, bloodied, and ridiculed and spit on. And the worst of the worst, that he takes that for you. And then what does he do? He lays himself between you and heaven as your advocate So that when God looks down at you, he's not looking down and seeing all the faults. He's seeing you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. He's doing that because he wants you to keep an open relationship with your Heavenly Father. He wants that to be there. He wants you to know the love of God. He wants you to know the love of the Father. He wants you to be able to come running to him when you fail, because you will. But he's laid himself between us and the Father. I said, wow, that is amazing grace, amen? That is amazing grace. That's over and beyond grace. It's like grace we can't even begin to comprehend. So above all, we are to love each other deeply, because that deep love is going to help cover a multitude of sin. Romans 5:5 is a good verse for us to maybe understand, know, write down. Because we're such good excuse makers, we're so good at justifying ourselves in everything. You know, we quote a scripture and then we justify ourselves away from it. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has what? He's poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. So guess what? He cleans you up. And then he asks you to do a few things, but then he pours out, and that word pour means he has given you an abundance of love. So now you're not even having to operate per se off of your own, but you're having to receive his and then let that go through you. And once you allow that to begin to happen, guess what? Yeah, that starts that transforming process. But see, we stop it there and we say, no, I'm not going to let that happen, because I have a justification for this. He was so mean to me. And so we stop the flow of his love, which is the only thing that can change you. Oh, my word. You hear what he's saying to us? I have poured this out on you. Just receive it more. If you can't love, go back and get some more. I've abundantly poured it out into your life so that you can do this. Why? Because he wants you to be transformed. He wants you to have that kind of love. That's what he died and went to the cross for, us so that we can be completely whole again. Come on, you hear? He wants you to be whole again. He doesn't want you to be judgmental. He doesn't want you to have a nasty mouth. He doesn't want you to complain and all that. He wants you to do exactly what he has done. And so he has empowered us to do it. I think it's totally phenomenal. It's almost beyond our, it is beyond our comprehension, isn't it? But as we read the word, our faith will come connected with the spirit that he's already put within us, and we'll begin to receive that poured out love. I have poured it out. It's just a picture of abundance. Now, let me just say, I don't want to say this is easy. I'm not saying this is simple at all, because it's not. But if I begin to understand the reason it's not, maybe I'll change a little. The reason it's not easy isn't because of all of his provision. It's because of me and the stubbornness I'm hanging on to, or the bitterness that I'm holding on to, or the things that I just won't let go. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason it's hard. So it is hard in some respects. But man, when you begin to learn that it's only hard because you're not maybe receiving that poured out love. Because when you got up and you walked through your day and you realized that you were angry and bitter and complaining and murmuring and hating people, that you didn't go back to prayer and say, oh God, I have to receive more of your poured out love. That's what I have to receive. That's what I need. That's why he starts out. I want you to be sober-minded. I want you to be ready to pray. The end is here. It's time to do this. Don't hang on to those things. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. That's the simple part about it. That's what's really cool. I don't know. I'm sure you've experienced it. You know, you fight through things for a long time. And then all of a sudden, we call it being delivered. All of a sudden, we're delivered from something. And somehow we forget it's because we finally gave in to the Lord. And we finally just gave in to his word. It should, after enough times, and I have not perfected this yet, but I'm getting quicker to listen to his word. Because I know I need to do that. Because he's got the power, right? Doesn't the Word of God have the power to transform your life? It has the power to separate things in your life. It has the ability to do amazing things. He cuts us open. He cuts us open. He cuts out the bad. And then he pours in abundance the love of Christ so that I can get up and I can do something different. If I keep going to prayer and not doing anything different, I might need to get some instructions on prayer. Maybe I'm just not hitting the mark. The disciples had to do that. They had to ask. They said, "Boy, this is not working, God. We're still wanting to cut off ears. We're still wanting to call fire down from heaven. It ain't working." And what did you know? And so they just said, "But Jesus, teach us to pray." We're learning to live with our stinky attitudes as a Christian. And to be honest with you, the time is toward the end. We're going to have to change. We're going to have to change. We can't keep it up. We can't keep using the psychological babble of the world to work in our Christianity. Amen. This is all said in complete love. I'm serious. It is in sweet love, but it's just time. Sometimes you got to grow up, don't you? That's what the Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians, talking about the last day church. It doesn't say we want to go up. It says it's time for you to grow up. We got to get up there and quit letting these things beat us down and waste our days and weeks and months. Waste our life. And none of it glorifies God. I just want to tell you that right now. None of it glorifies God. 1 Peter 4, chapter 9, or verse 9. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it says, we have to practice hospitality without complaining. You know what hospitality means here? It means to be generous to guests. Be generous to guests. That's amazing, isn't it? I think the word from the Greek to the Latin to the English is actually hospitable. Hospital. It's to be hospitable with one another. How do we do that? Are we treasuring people as guests? Are we looking at people that way? Are we living our lives in such a way that we're being hospitable to one another? And I mentioned it last week. The key phrase that you should underline in your Bible here is without grumbling. Oh, Lord, get grumbling out of the church. Everybody should say amen to that. We all hate the effects of grumbling. It's like murmuring. Nobody wants to stay in the wilderness for 40 years, but I keep murmuring. Must not be too bad, huh? A little sun, a little water, a little shade, a little bird meat, a little bit of manna, a little bit of water. I'm happy. No, let's get out of the wilderness and let's move toward the promised land in our personal lives. Let's move forward. Amen? So we're to be hospitable without complaining. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, and each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So each one has received gifts. I believe personally, and in a few minutes you're going to get a list of these gifts that are in the Bible, or at least some of them. I have them put on a little sheet so that we have those, because we certainly would not have time to go through all of them today. But it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, what? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I think we would all say we're probably... We love the manifold or the multifaceted is what it means, the many-sided grace of God. It has many sides to it. It's amazing what it has. And he's relating it now to the gifts of the Spirit. And he's saying, I want you to take the gifts of the Spirit and I want you to minister those to one another as what? As good stewards. Now, we know what a steward is, right? It's somebody that manages somebody else's goods well. That's what a good steward does. He takes those things. God says, I'm giving you this gift. Now, the question for us to ask this morning as we consider this is, how are you doing with the gift he's given you? And I believe personally, the gift is the Holy Spirit himself. He gives us at salvation, you're born again. But then he offers the gift of the Spirit. And out of the gift of the Spirit, which I believe is the person of the Holy Spirit, has these manifold gifts that he wants to work through your life for whatever the need might be. Remember it says, I distribute these as I will. As I will, as I will. Well, how many know that God really does want people healed? He does. I mean, don't you think so? Don't you think he's just a good, we sing that song and it all resonates to everybody, I think. He's a good, good father. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody to experience his provision. He wants everybody to do all these things, but yet we have justified some of it away. Do some people suffer? Absolutely. That's what Scripture's full of it, right? But what do they come out? It says they come out in faith. But yet God wants to take his church and he wants to move us beyond, and we want to be able to look in the rearview mirror and see a few signs and wonders start to follow and let that increase. And instead of looking this way and focusing on somebody that isn't, why aren't we looking to see if the signs and wonders are following me? He's given you the gift. Maybe you have the ability, the gift, the authority, the power for that person's healing. That's very clear. If you follow Jesus in the gospel, he does healing in a multitude of ways, doesn't he? Sometimes he makes them ask. Sometimes he says, okay, after they're healed, what does he say? Your faith has made you whole, right? Amen. Whose faith made him whole? Theirs. Other times, he says, I want you to go lay hands on the sick, and they'll do what? So he has this thing. We know it's all him, but he's put his spirit and his gift inside of you to see his self operate in the earth and to be released in the earth. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, that's about 30% of the amens that should have come out of that. See, we got to start saying yes and amen to the truth of the Scriptures, or they will just settle down at the bottom, and we'll never see them come up. Why? Because we're not going to, oh, I experienced a failure years ago. Oh, that's just, well, that's okay. God's in control, right? But he wants to use you to release his power. That's why he put it in you. Can I hear a pretty good amen on that one? I mean, honestly, you can sit there and just, when you and I all want to see more signs and wonders, would that be a correct assumption of you guys? I certainly do. I just am not satisfied. I see the power of God. I see the Old Testament miracles. I see the New Testament where people are getting healed with shadows walking by them. And yet we are settling for what we have today. I want to stir us up. As each one has received a gift. Who received the gift? Would you say we do? Is that right? Yeah. We really, I'm not just making this up. This is exactly what it says. Who receives the gift? I do. So does that mean I can give the gift away? Absolutely. 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 And I need to learn to be a good steward of this manifold grace of God, the gift of God, that has been given to me by the Father. So he's calling each one of us, and I'm challenging each one of us today to begin to think, and I'm going to give you a copy of something that will maybe help you peruse through and read it. I thought about this whole gifts thing. How many have ever taken a gifts test? About half of everybody and a few extra that did not raise their hand. I think those are great. They're fine. But to be real honest with you today, I thought, I'm just going to give you a list of some of the gifts that are there. It's not even complete. I only show about 25 on this list I'm going to give you. I just want you to read through that list. There's scriptures with each one. And let's just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to awaken these to you. And I know that we can pray for ourselves, but oftentimes we see the gifts are for somebody else. And this is kind of what he's saying. Pray for one another. Use that gift for one another. Somebody may be here this morning that needed you to use the gift of the word of wisdom for them. Somebody might be here this morning that needed to hear a word of knowledge from you, the gifts in you. They needed to hear that from you this morning. But see, if I'm not in tune with this thing, if I'm just driving to work without looking in the rearview mirror, if I'm not caring whether a sign or a wonder ever follows me, then I might miss the very opportunity to be a good steward of what? This manifold graces of God, the power of God that works in us. There's so many verses for this. There's so many verses about this. The word here, it says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, now listen to this, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you know that that's translated more often the words of The word oracle, how many uses oracle on a regular basis? You know, it almost sounds like a medical procedure, doesn't it? I'm going to do an oracle on you today. No, it means the words of God. You are to speak as the words of God. Man, I don't know about you, but if I was God, I'm not sure if I would trust you with all that power. But he has. It's very clear he has. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the words of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with what? The ability which God supplies. The ability there simply means the force, the strength, the might. If you can do what you're doing by yourself, you will not glorify your Father in heaven. It has to be beyond us. Sure, we're to be nice, but we need to go beyond us. We need to stretch ourselves a little bit in this thing. We need to stretch ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, that's us, be strong. There's that word strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might that he's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. Your words have more power than what you probably realize. So you may not even say them with the boldness you need to say them. You may not be praying them with the boldness you need to pray them. And he wants that in Ephesians 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To us who believe. According to what? To the working of his mighty power. The Lord needs us, his church, to arise with his power. He needs us to go beyond ourselves and begin to believe beyond ourselves and begin to live each day beyond ourselves. And yet we get stuck sometimes just in our little selves. We're stuck in our little habits. We're stuck in our little unforgivenesses. We're stuck in our little bitternesses. And we're wasting an opportunity of eternity in our hands slipping by us. And we allow that to just stay there and stay there and stay there. Some believers, for their entire lives, stuck in bitterness, stuck in hate, stuck in an unwillingness to forgive, stuck in these things that are simply stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it's time that as a church, we rise up ourselves in this thing. Let's take it to the end like we're supposed to. You never see the last person on the end of the baton run crawl. Right? They don't stop. Oh, I got the baton. I got it. I'm the last one. No, you don't see that, do you? They put everything. They usually, if I'm not mistaken, Ken can tell me this. Don't they put the best one at the end? They do. Why? That's who needs to have that baton. We got to run this thing all the way to the end. I think today is the day where you just say, God, I'm going to lay everything behind me. I'm going to get rid of the past so I can press forward. I am no longer to be stuck in this junk. I'm no longer to justify it in my mind. I'm going to go back to you and tell you, pour the love of God into me so much that it literally wipes away all the sin that's been against me. All the people that have hurt me, all the things that have held me back, I'm getting rid of it because God's going to abundantly pour out his love in your life. He's after us this morning. He needs a church that will rise up in his power and his might. I just read it to us. Let's pray right now. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, where am I stuck? And if you feel a bit of stubbornness in your heart right now, that's where you're stuck. If you feel unforgiveness in your heart right now, that's where you're stuck. If you feel bitterness in your heart, that's where you're stuck. If you feel even just a lack of faith, because you've experienced some issues that haven't worked out like you've wanted them to, God can help you, but not if you shut him out, not if you turn him off. The Holy Spirit's here this morning to minister to you if you'll just let him. Let him pour into your life right now. Let him pour into your life. Every one of us need a little bit. Some of you need a lot. Father, right now, I thank you that your word, it's so clear here through the Apostle Peter. It's so clear that we can't really miss it. So we're coming to humble ourselves before you today, God. And we're asking you to unstop the just whatever is stopping the flow of your spirit, unstop that in us today. Help us to see reality. Help us to understand where we're at. Help us not to be a wimp and a whiner, but help us to come to that throne of grace, because we can receive everything that we need at that point. Because, God, that's your desire for us. You didn't make anyone in here to be stuck as a failure, to be stuck in bitterness, to be stuck in these things. You made every one of us to be overcomers in Christ. So I pray even right now, God, because I do know there are some that would have some deep struggles. But it's not being insensitive to that. But, God, I just know in my own life, the only thing that will deal with that is the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. So come this morning upon each one of us and begin to unlock things, God, that are holding us back from the full potential. Help us to be dare to live as a believing believer, God, so we can begin to see an outflow of the signs and wonders and the miracles in our lives and through our lives, God. Father, we love you and we come to you this morning because you're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God before us today.